With all that's being said about the season, don't stop at the manger. You got to go to the cross. Amen. Appreciate that good special. I'm looking forward to the cantata tonight and the special music. It'll have a great message in it. Bring your friends, invite folks, and we'll promise you the Lord Jesus Christ and his truth will be lifted up in the musical program tonight. Well, we would normally... And you'll hear a lot of the text being read this morning out of Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2 concerning the birth of Christ. I'm going to a different place this morning. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to read a couple of verses and then in Hebrews chapter 10. You know, we talk about Christmas. What is it? Well, we're actually celebrating the incarnation of Christ, God come in the flesh. And Hebrews chapter 2, very concise in verse 14. Now, I want you to find it because I'm not going to read a long text. And I want you to go ahead and make an effort to find the book of Hebrews. And I'm going to ask you to go to chapter 2, and then I'm going to ask you to go to chapter 10 just for a verse there. Here's a familiar verse in chapter 2. Listen to the words. Verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, that's you and I, his creation, made out of flesh and blood. We're partakers of flesh and blood. He also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and to deliver them who through their fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Do you know that you and I are subject to bondage because we fear death? Don't tell me you don't. You wouldn't be taking those vitamin pills. You wouldn't be buckling your seatbelt. Yeah. Something we haven't experienced before. We're kind of uneasy about it. It's not so much what's on the other side as sometimes it's what we fear we're leaving. And also fear the method we're going to die by. Now go with me to Hebrews chapter 10. And let's pick it up in verse 5. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, that's what we celebrating here at Christmas. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. And he's referring back to the previous verse here where he tells us that our sins couldn't be purged by the death of bulls and goats in verse 4. So he says, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body house there hast thou prepared for me. That's what the birth of Christ was about. A body hast thou prepared for me. Hebrews 2:14 tells us it's a body of flesh and blood, like you and I have. You know, a lot of folks don't understand about Christmas. They don't understand the incarnation. They don't understand the reason or why or what's the real meaning. I saw a reporter on TV going into a shopping center and into the crowd, and there was a mother and a little daughter there, and he said to the little daughter, he said, whose birthday is it anyway that we're celebrating? And the little girl looked and she said, Santa's? I'm afraid that's the world's report. Worse than that, there was an older man standing there, and the reporter turned to him and says, whose birthday is it? And the guy wouldn't answer. I tell you, I don't think he knew. That's really sad. That's really sad. On our radio, there's a little song played this week. I didn't get all of it. I just got one part of it there, where a little girl was being asked what she wanted for Christmas. And she said, I want Jesus to get his birthday back. I thought that was pretty good. That was pretty deep. But you know, at the birth of Christ, the world was bad. It's bad right now. I mean, it's probably worse now, but it was bad at his birth. It was bad at his birth. Herod was killing the babies, remember? Just so he could kill Jesus, because Herod himself was a usurper on the throne of Israel. He didn't belong there, and he knew the throne rightfully belonged to the coming Messiah, and he feared that Jesus might be that Messiah, so he had all the babies killed from age 2 years and on down because he was trying to make sure he killed the coming king. He missed, and all of them tried it ever since. He's still coming back as king one of these days, amen? But you know, we're reaching a peak again. It was a bad time when Jesus was born. Galatians 4 says it was in the fullness of time. In other words, God was not late. He was in the fullness of time. He's not late again. Jesus will come again at the right time, amen? But it was a bad thing that was going on. Herod was killing the babies. We're still killing them today, even more wholesale by far. I saw something sickening this week in a newspaper, I believe it was, and it's talking about how the vaccines we give, have you had your flu shot and all that business, that some of the vaccine have baby cells, I'm using the word cells, baby ingredients in those vaccines that are taken from dead fetuses. They call them fetuses, they're dead babies. That's awful. I mean, if we can get more barbaric in our scientific discoveries, we're doing so. Not only did Herod kill the babies, we kill them and take the body parts for money. Sad, folks. We're reaching a peak of evil again. It was a corrupt time when Jesus was born. Rome was in charge. Politics were awful. There was corruption in high places. Does that sound familiar to you? Brother, we're right there today. I mean, the witch's coven in Washington is really stirred up. They announced to our president they were impeaching him on Halloween. You do remember that. That just proves my point. Bunch of witches up there. And in fact, they actually took the vote out of committee the other day on Friday the 13th. All right, help yourself. The truth of the matter is things was bad when Jesus was born. They're still bad. Evil is still evil, and the devil is still working. And the satanic hate that you see in Washington, D.C. was around when Jesus was born the first time. Let's not miss the meaning, though, of the incarnation. And why? Why did he come? Why was he born? Well, number one, he was born to reveal God to man. Man didn't know much about God. You know who Jesus was? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, I'm in the book of Hebrews here, that Jesus is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. You want to know what God looks like? Study Jesus. See what you can learn from Jesus. If you want to know what man thought about God, you can go to Romans chapter 1 and pick it up in verse 23. Listen to it here. It's talking about man trying to represent God with his idols and stuff and being fools. And it says in verse 23, they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and a four-footed beast and creeping things. Have you seen the documentaries on TV where they go in the jungle or somewhere else and they show the temples built and they show the images of man? Boy, he's a gross-looking thing, those idols. And it shows serpents and it shows four-footed beasts and snakes, creeping things. That was man's idea of what God must look like. When God sent Jesus, he was to reveal God to man, what he really looks like. You want to know about God? Look at Jesus. You want to see God's compassion? You look at Jesus. You want to see God's perfection? You look at Jesus. Man imagined God like the idols that they made. In Acts chapter 17, you remember when the Apostle Paul came to Athens? That was the intellectual place of Greece. I mean, that's where the high intellectuals went to Mars Hill and they taught their philosophy. The same philosophy that's being taught in our American universities today was being taught on Mars Hill. And when Paul showed up, he told them, "You're too superstitious." And he said, "I want to talk to you. You got a sign here for a God. You got an image here for a God. You got an idol here for a God. I want to tell you about the unknown God that you admit you don't know." And the truth is, man still don't know. And the intellectuals today, so-called, don't know who God is. no more than they did in Acts 17 there in Athens. Jesus came to reveal God to man. You know what I know about God? I have to know it through Jesus. What his word says. He came to reveal that man, and get this one, Jesus came to reveal that man is lost, but the good news is he was not abandoned. God still cared, made a way for him to be rescued, made a way for him to be redeemed, to be bought back. I mean, yes, we were lost, or God wouldn't have had to send his son. Listen to me a minute. If you think you'd be good enough to go to heaven, God could have kept his son and never let him go to that cross. You can't be good enough. You were lost. You were lost. But the good news is he didn't forsake you. He didn't abandon you. He sent his son to rescue you. I mean, he came to let us know we were lost, but we were not forgotten. We were not forsaken. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 says he suffered the just for the unjust. Jesus, the just one, never sinned. But he suffered for me that and you that have sinned. We were unjust. He was just. Oh, the wonderful truth is he did it for a reason. He did it to bring us to God, the scripture says. Now the question, and 1 Peter 3:18 is the verse I'm talking about. It begs the question that if he had to suffer the just for the unjust to bring us to God, then where were we at that he had to bring us back to himself? I'll tell you where we were. We were lost. We were on our way to hell. We couldn't save ourselves. The truth is, we had no hope without him. Now, it's Christmas days, you say, preacher, and we're all joyful about Christmas. Wonderful Christmas joy. What's the joy about? Not what you're going to get under a tree. Not what you're going to get when you tear the paper off a package. What is it that ought to be joy? The joyful part is a Savior came to forgive our sins, to pay a price we couldn't pay. That's the Christmas joy. I want to tell you, a lot of folks celebrate Christmas and they have a temporary, quick joy that passes on and becomes as empty as the box they took the gift out of after a while. Sad truth is, their joy is only in things. If you really understand the joy of Christmas, it's the fact you have a Savior. Oh, that's the gift of God, the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, the unspeakable gift, the Bible calls it. And the reason for Christmas joy is that we have a Savior to save us from our sins. Sadly, folks, if you don't have a Savior, you shouldn't be rejoicing over Christmas. You really got nothing to rejoice over if you've never received Christ as your Savior. That's what it's all about. That's why he came. You say, well, family, that's fine. But your real joy has to go deeper than that. It can only go deeper if you know Christ as your Savior. You know, yes, we were lost. And without Christ, we are still lost. Mark Lowry, I guess was his name, had a real hit when he wrote the song, Mary, Did You Know? Mary, Did You Know? And then he goes through some of the truths of the gospel. And thankfully so. But he asked Mary, did you know? Did you know who that was in your body you were carrying? Do you know who that was that you rocked, as it were, in the crib? Do you know who it was that you helped here? Did you know that that baby was God? Yes, I think she did. Say, how would you know? Well, if I were to go over to Luke chapter 1, I won't do it for time's sake, but if I went over there when Mary comes and presents herself to Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother, you remember the story over there? You remember what Mary said? She spoke up there and she said, God, my Savior. Do you understand Jesus was not only her baby, he was her Savior. If she needed him as a Savior, you and I so much more need him as our Savior today. Yes, she knew. She knew a lot more than a lot of folks think. And I want to say to you today, there's no joy in Christmas if you don't know Jesus. Do you understand? He came as your Savior, but if you reject him, you face him one day as your judge. Your judge. The resurrection we'll get to around Easter, but listen, the resurrection is part of the passage, of the whole passage and the whole truth, the whole gospel. And the fact that God raised him from the dead not only assures you that your Savior lives, but your judge lives if you've rejected him. Yes. Say, well, preacher, I don't have any right to be happy this Christmas. You could have the best Christmas in the world if you accepted Jesus as your Savior. He's the one. He's the key. He's the key. You know, the text here, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, tells us that he came to destroy the works of the devil. And I think on that with me a minute. He came to destroy the works of the devil. It's easy to get up here, and we cannot, time will not allow for us to name the works of the devil. They're apparent everywhere. I remember a man that got saved here in the church a number of years ago. And after he got saved and followed the Lord in baptism, and I'd known him a long time, went to school with him, a good man. I remember what he said to me, because he discovered some awful bad things about some bad things in his family and bad things. And he came to me and he made a statement like this. It was he was a baby Christian. He didn't know much about the word. He'd just gotten saved. And I remember what he said to me. He said, "Preacher, I see the works of the devil everywhere. Where are the works of God?" I said, "Jesus is the works of God. He came to destroy the works of the devil." Oh yeah, the list is pretty long when you start atomizing what the devil is doing today. Oh, it's big and it's long, but I thank God Jesus came to undo. He's the only one that can undo the works of the devil. You and I can resist him. We can fight, but only Jesus can undo it. He's the only one. You know, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5, I read a verse to you. I go back to it again right now. But over in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5, it says, God prepared Jesus a body. You understand, we were made flesh and blood. That's what it says. We were made flesh and blood. But over in chapter 10 and verse 5, it says that he prepared him a body. Why? So he could take our part. So he could feel like we feel. The Bible says he was touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Tempted in every way as us. Are you hurting today? Some bad things happen. You say, "Well, preacher, I'd like for you to help me out." All I can do is sympathize with you a little bit as a human, but Jesus can sympathize all the way. He can say, "I know how you feel," and really mean. You know, we say that to people, don't we? "Well, I know how you feel." The truth is, no, we don't. Even if we've been in the same situation, we still can't quite feel like the other person feels, but Jesus can. And he came to undo the works of the devil. He was prepared a body to take our part. A wonderful, wonderful truth there. He became, the incarnation of Christ makes him the God-man. He is God and he's man. That makes him be able to do what no other man could do. Do you understand that? As we think on Christmas this year, think on what really took place. God became flesh to dwell in our midst, to take our part, to feel as we feel, to hurt as we hurt. And yet he can do more than that. He can take care of it. Matthew 1, around verse 21, says, and Mary was given the instruction, "Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." Didn't say he'd save them in their sin. Said he'd save them from their sin. What does that mean? It means from the penalty of sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. We see it all the time, don't we? Yeah, we see it all the time. We know it's true. And yet man is facing the wage of sin. And only Jesus can undo that work. He saves us from the penalty of, you know, the wages of sin is death. That means hell is my destination if Jesus don't take care of that payment for me. The penalty of my sin is death, eternal death. And yet Jesus took it for me. If I'll receive him, he's my payment. He takes care of the wages of sin. But one day, he's not only taking care of my penalty, he's going to take me out of the very presence of sin. I'm looking forward to that. Now, since I've been saved, I've been trying my best to take myself out of the presence of sin. And by the grace of God, I have to a great degree, but I can't completely. Can't completely. Have you ever been trapped in a situation where you wanted to get away and you couldn't? We've all been there. One way, somehow. We've all had to hear something we didn't want to hear. We've had to look at something we didn't want to look. We've been involved in something we didn't want any part of. But there'll be a day I'll never be in the presence of sin again. I'm going to a place where sin cannot enter in. Corruption and filth and deceit and lying and all that we see today can't get in. Can't get in. Call his name Jesus so he'll save his people from their sins. One day he's going to take us out of the presence. If you were to read Revelation 21, about verse 27, near the end of that chapter, you'd read where we're going to a place that sin cannot enter in. That worketh an abomination. That is a lie. It can't go there. It won't be there. There'll be no sin in that place. By the way, you read it close, it's got a wall around it. Amen. Somebody don't like walls today. We ought to wall out some things. Amen. You ought to wall out some things in your life, as well as our country needs a wall and all of that business. But often here in our lives, especially as we get a little older, and I'm talking to some folks that are a little older with me this morning too, as we look back on our lives, you ever have somebody ask you the hard question, would you do that again? Ever had anybody ask you the hard question, well, did you make any mistakes? Yes, if you're alive, you made some mistakes. If you're alive, there are some regrets. You might have gotten saved later in your life. You might have got saved young, and still you got regrets because you didn't live like you should have many times for the Lord. Yeah, we're all there. We've all been there, no doubt about it. Now, you know what we have a tendency to do? We say, God, why? Wait a minute. What we're complaining about is not God's work. It's the devil's work. That's what Jesus came for, to undo the works of the devil. I said it before, he's the only one that can undo the works of the devil. The works of the devil started in the Garden of Eden when he deceived Eve, and the wages of sin is death came all the way back then. And when you come up through the Bible and it says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. All of that was the work of the devil. Every wrong thing I ever done in my life, I'm going to lay at his feet, not God's. It's his work. Did you think about that? Folks, be careful the devil don't trick you into complaining to God about what he's done, what the devil's done. Some of you are looking a little thick on me right now, but listen to me. Do you have any guilt over some occasion in your life where you hurt somebody, where you feel bad about it? Don't raise your hand. You did. Do you have anything you done wrong? If you could do it over, you wouldn't do it again? Yeah, we all been there. Yeah, wouldn't it be wonderful? I remember thinking this. I remember standing in a store building. The building's still standing down here on 6th Street, Haines City. I remember standing there getting close to graduating in school. And mother standing there wanting to buy me a suit of clothes to graduate in. And I didn't want her to know, but I was about to get expelled from school. I was in trouble. My heart was hurting, and I felt guilty. I saw in the newspaper this week, I believe it was in the newspaper, where one of these men that's guilty of murder, and in the courtroom, and some folks thought how hard acting he was, unrepentant, No remorse. But then they said he looked at his mother. His mother was in the courtroom. And that kind of melted him down. Isn't that something? No matter how hard we get, there's something there. Somebody we hurt. Somebody we feel guilty in front of. Somebody we wish we hadn't have done it. Somebody we wish we could take it back from. If your mind's eye goes back and searches your life, we've all been there. We all can think about it. Yeah, hindsight is better, but here, when the devil gets on my shoulder and says, remember that? And remember that? Yeah? Yeah, you done that? Oh, I'm so thankful I could say, forget it, old devil. Jesus took care of it. It's gone. It's gone. It's buried in the deepest sea. It's under the blood. Just forget it, old devil. I'm clean. Amen. As though I never sinned. I'm justified in the eyes of God. Do you ever have those thoughts? I do. Never get over being thankful that he can undo the works of the devil in my life. He can make it start over clean again. He can write right on the bottom, paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only Jesus could undo the works of the devil. Or the pain of it, the guilt of it. Just take it to Jesus. I'm proud if you got saved young and maybe you don't have some of the worst things that some of the folks that are older remember. But I am sure glad I can just put it all on what Jesus paid for. From the time I received him on, I've been working on a clean, brand new piece of paper. Nothing's been written on. Oh, yeah. Even as a saved person, I'd make some errors and mistake. But that goes on his tab also. He paid it all. All to him I owe. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying to you this morning? As we celebrate Christmas, understand why we can celebrate it. Because we know the Savior. The one that came to undo the works of the devil. To reveal God to me. To take my part. And to give me a new lease on a clean pardon, justified as though I never sinned. That's what we have in Jesus. Do you have him this morning? Well, he's the gift you need to receive. He's the gift of eternal life. He's the gift that, brother, can clean your very soul and your heart of all that the devil has stained it with. He can make it clean. Have you ever received him? Do you know him as Savior? Has been a time you said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, and save me. Have you ever bowed the knee to Christ? Are you going to hear a lot of wonderful singing and a lot of praise and a lot of scripture about who Jesus is? But best of all, he'll be your personal Savior to you if you'll let him. I pray you will. Even this morning, you can leave that seat, come down the aisle, and receive Christ as your Savior. You can leave this building. Oh, this Christmas, the best Christmas you ever had in your life. As the song says, a new name written in glory, and it's mine. It can be your name written up there if you'll receive him as Savior today. I pray you will. Let's bow our heads. How many of you say, preacher, I know what you're talking about. I remember when I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Can you say that by the uplifted hand all over the building? I remember when. I mean, there's a time you did it. Thank you. Thank you, so many hands. Are you here today and you'd say, preacher, I still need to do that. Oh, I've heard about Jesus, but I've never personally received him. Preacher, when you pray, have me in mind. I need to be saved. Would you lift that hand for prayer this morning? In the back, anywhere? A lot of folks celebrating Christmas today, and they don't know it, but they're missing the best gift of all when they miss Jesus. Oh, I pray for you. Don't miss him. Don't miss him. You hear about him on Christmas, but is he yours? Have you unwrapped the gift of eternal life that he offers you? Have you done that? You could do it even this morning if you'll come and receive Christ. I'm going to ask we stand. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, I've tried in a few minutes to tell them a little bit about Jesus. the real meaning of Christmas, why he came, what he did, and how he's the only one that could do it for us. I pray for the invitation right now. I pray for that one that needs to receive Christ today. I pray as your people we take the opportunity to tell others what Christmas is all about the coming of Christ and why he came. Bless the invitation, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step to the front. I'll meet you here if you'll come. Will you come? Maybe you need to come to the altars, God's people, and just thank the Lord what you have in Jesus, what you have in the gift of eternal life. Whatever God's asked you to do, you do it as we sing.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And
will you come? Will you come? How about you?
I come just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot.
The Bible speaks of Jesus as being God's unspeakable gift. We don't have words. We can't totally describe him, all that we have in him. Unspeakable gift. I challenge you this year, if somebody gives you a gift or you open one on Christmas morning, I challenge you to think this thought. Have I unopened the best gift of all? Have I ever received Christ? Nothing can top that. Nothing. Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul?" If you could open a package that says you now own the world, but you didn't know Jesus as Savior, it'd be a bad deal. It'd be a bad deal. If it costs you your soul. I see the hustle and bustle and the schedule of Christmas every year. And I see the good side and the bad side of it. And the bad side is often, like the little girl said, I'd like to see Jesus get his birthday back. Too many times, the greatest gift of all is missed. Overlooked, not understood. You and I that are believers and know Christ as our Savior, it is a good time of year to ask others a good opening question is, do you know the real meaning of Christmas? Do you know whose birthday it was? Like the newsman asked on the news of that. Just for him to ask the question made me think he probably knew the Lord, because he was asking the correct question. Getting somebody to think. I was in some store and I'm not a great shopper and I don't go to the store often, but I was in some place this week, right now, I can't remember where. Young man was waiting on me, probably in his early 20s. And as I paid for it or whatever it was, I looked at him and I said, "Do you know the real meaning of Christmas?" And he looked me back in the eye and he said, "Yes, I do." I like to hear a testimony like that. So many don't. It's not how smart you are, how high your IQ, or what degree you hold. There's a whole lot of folks got some high IQs and high degrees that don't know Jesus, and they're in trouble. I've often given this testimony. Our family celebrated Christmas. We knew about Santa Claus. We knew about going to the woods and cutting a tree down. And that's what we did in the old days. Now I guess that would be breaking the law. But we brought it home and decorated it. Much of it was decorated with home decorations. Anybody remember that? And it was a lot of fun for us kids. And I grew up enjoying it. But sadly, I grew up without knowing the real meaning of Christmas. I really did. I was saved at 22 years old, and I didn't know much about Christmas until about that time, because I didn't know Jesus. This can happen right here in America, right in the South here in what's called the Bible Belt. There's people around you don't know. Don't assume they do. It's okay to ask. It's okay to tell them what the real meaning and why Jesus really came. Amen? All right, we want to encourage you to come back tonight. Let me give you a reason to come back tonight now. The cantata. A lot of work. Going to be a great gospel presentation. And while it hurts my ego to say it, I'm not going to preach tonight. It hurts my ego to know you, more of you would come because of that. We will have an invitation tonight following the gospel presentation and song. So if you have somebody that wants to come just because of the music, just remember this. The message will be good. The message will be good. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and be dismissed in prayer. Brother Perkins, you want to dismiss us, please?
Let's pray. Father, we do love you today, Lord. And Father, we thank you for the message that we just heard. And we do thank you for the Lord Jesus. And Father, I do pray a blessing upon the service tonight, Lord. We have many visitors. And I just pray, Lord, if it be any lost among us tonight, Lord, that tonight would be their night of salvation, Lord. We just pray the message to touch their hearts and work. And Father, as we dismiss now, we pray that you take us home safe and bring us back safe tonight. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.